walking down this rocky road, wondering where my life is leading, rolling on to the bitter end. Finding out along the way what it takes to keep love living. You should know.
Welcome to Packers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Bienvenidos Empacadores Sin Fronteras, dos papás dedicados al amor, la risa y los empacadores de Green Bay.
Packers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet. Two dads talking love, life, dedicated to the Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go!
Verde y amarillo hasta la muerte.
There we go. Holy fuck. Oh, I was on the phone. Had to listen
to hear you.
Had to listen to a customer explain to me that we missed one 12-inch by 12-inch piece of their sidewalk that apparently extends a little further out. That way, when they use their walker, they can push their walker forward and unlock the door.
Well, you see where I am, bro. I told my wife I said,
yeah,
just drop me off here and you guys go home. I'll do the pod, then I'll finish cleaning up. Because my daughter just did two 13-hour shifts to give me a chance to go to this game. So it's like I got here as quickly as I could to have her handle stuff, man.
So it was cool. Quiet.
Oh,
holy
dude.
Shit. You know what? Have you seen it? Like, I've been going every day for 3 weeks. I've been taking my creatine and my protein powder. And I'm trying to go from 258 down to like 220. And what's happened is I've gone from 258 down to 241. And now things are getting bigger.
Yeah. Muscle is
twice like, wait, that's not what I want.
No, muscle is twice as dense and weighs twice as much as fat, dude. So you're not going to lose a lot of weight as you start going down this road, especially if you're doing protein and stuff, man. You're not going to trim down at all. You're probably going to stay right at like 240. Look at that. New Year's resolution.
I got my saggy boobies are starting to become not saggy titties anymore. They're starting to tighten up. Today was the first day that you actually, you know, when you're on a diet or you're working out or you're doing something, whatever it is, even like growing the goatee, right? Today was the day of you look in the mirror and you go, oh, fuck. Hey, wait a minute. Look at that. Hey, wait a second. It seems to be paying off.
You don't have droopy Jerry Jones boobs?
I was getting the weird, you know, those kind of weird man boobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the coney.
Like ones where you're walking in the grocery store and you're like, and you see that guy and you're like, fuck, I hope my tits don't look like that. And then one day you're in. So you get out of the shower and you're like, my tits are starting to look like that.
Man, so crazy, dude. Absolutely crazy, man.
Every day. So you went and it was ridiculous.
Dude, so last minute on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah. Did I tell you I was going on Friday? Right? can't remember.
Yeah.
Whenever it was, I was just like, oh, I'm just going to check out tickets, see how much they are or whatever. Dude, and I saw $57. I was like, how can tickets be $57? So I went into the site and I just sorted from lowest to highest price. And of course, nosebleeds, like we were literally 10 rows off of the back wall, right? But $138.
Still, they looked okay to me. They looked okay to me from your video. They looked pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
You can actually see the whole field. I'd rather sit up higher now that I mean, not in Lambo where the wind's going 960 miles an hour and freaking pits off. There you do want to be in the lower bowl, but in a stadium that's enclosed, dude, I could see everything. I was watching all the motion. The way I was able to see the game was a completely different experience. Super insane. Super frustrating to see Joe Barry go 2D lineman and super prevent. And I get it. We were kicking their ass, but even Matt LaFleur was, and I guess it was his call, right, to pull all of the starters at that point. But there was literally 15, it was a full
literally.
Quarter, the full fourth quarter. The full fourth quarter was basically garbage time.
Yeah. It was a little early. When Clifford came in, I thought, wow, 6 minutes is a lot of time. Yeah. I know we're kicking their ass, but we're also taking out a lot of starters on the defense, too. I would have liked to have seen maybe one more series out of Love, get her down to about 4 minutes, and then we see Clifford. I know we were killing him, and it worked out in the end, but as Packer fans that have watched more than a couple of years, you know, you're staring at the clock. We're up by 16. There's 4 minutes left, and you're like, oh, no, this is not done.
And that first onside quick, that first onside quick, squibs in between the first students just because the Cowboys at that point completely given up and didn't even pursue the fucking ball. So there's nobody within like 30 yards of him. And I was like, oh my God. And I sat down after that. And my wife's like, what's going on? I was like, they pulled all the starters. I don't know what they're doing. Like, you should have just destroyed them all the way, hit a 50 burger. I don't care. Just keep this thing going. And sure enough, minute 36, they score a touchdown. And then they score again, and then that's when Matt LaFleur like, whoa, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
And they brought in Jordan Love, who had a three and out, you know.
Yeah, but that's the worst, right? Is you were on the sidelines, you were celebrating with your buddies, you were popping bottles, you were taking your tape off, you were putting your coat on, you know what I mean? You were thinking about, wow, we're going to celebrate here, we're going to do this. There's Aaron Jones going, my family's here, we're all going to go party at my uncle's house, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they're like, you got to get back in there. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The Cowboys were the number one offense in the NFL this year. Number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were the number five defense in the NFL this year. Number one offense, number five defense, top five. Right through, right?
Yep.
That offense... It did not, and I don't want to say who called it, but that offense stumbled, stuttered, two interceptions, could not get it going. Dak is who I thought he was. I just did not think for the life of me, Jordan Love was going to leave no doubt as to who the King of the North is. You know, that was just an utter and complete display. Jordan Love, 16-21, 272, three touchdowns, and a perfect QBR rating, right?
Dobbs, there was that one
six catches, 151, 20.
Wait, there was that one incompletion that he had to come in after everything was done that knocked him down from perfect to like a 157, like whatever, instead of 158.3 or whatever. But yeah, whatever.
Dobbs. 25.2 yards per catch. 25.2. That's a ridiculous number. And he had six catches. That's a ridiculous number, right? Then you got Luke Musgrave, of course, three catches, 52 yards, 17.3. Wicks, two catches, 25 yards, 12.5. I think he had one catch actually for about 3 or 4 yards. And then he had the touchdown, which was about 20 yards.
Yep. Right? Because he stayed on his feet.
Kraft, two catches, 15 yards. Yeah. Kraft, two catches, 15 yards. Aaron Jones, a catch, 13. Watson, one catch, 9 yards. And Melton, one catch for 7 yards. You know, Watson, as you're watching a lot of the replays, he was drawing a lot of double and even triple team. Like Dan Quinn was convinced we were going to go all day every day to Watson and completely took Watson away, which left Dobbs completely open.
Well, it's that narrative,
he was
right,
open,
Matt?
Everywhere.
Even within Packer Nation, that we've always been anti this point of view, is that Watson is not the number one. I don't know why media, I don't know why other teams think, I don't know why certain people in the fan base think that Watson, the MVS, who's better than MVS, I will give him that, but is MVS. MVS was never a number one. The number one is the sure-handed big body dude that's going to get off of the line quickly. Now, look, Wicks and Melton are, and Heath, all have that kind of same prototype that Davante Adams does, but the guy that Jordan Love is going to look to, and not in the trick plays, not in the quick hitch stuff, which is I need to get the ball out quickly, that's Reed, right? Like when there's time and there's motion, it's going to be Reed. But when the fucking game is on the line, the first Reed and the guy that he's zoning in on is Romeo Dobbs. And yeah, he doesn't look to him first. You
say
know
it.
Why? Because
say it again. Say Jordan, it again. Say it yeah. again. Say that again. When the game is on the line, when it matters most,
yeah,
it's he's looking
Romeo
at
Dobbs.
Romeo Dobbs.
And everybody's like, well, it's not his yeah. first read. It's like, it's no Romeo. Shit, because Jordan Love has progressed so much as a quarterback where he's not going to stare down his fucking choice of who he's going to throw it to. He's going to look off the fucking defenders, looking to other guys, even though he Man. Knows where the fucking ball is going.
Look at the Wicks. Look at the Wicks touchdown. He gets up at the line with 12 seconds left. Dallas is showing max blitz. Here it comes. And Jordan Love doesn't call timeout or panic or anything. He goes, oh, 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 check, check, check. And he starts signaling to everybody. And everybody's nodding and they're tapping their head. I got the check. I got the check.
Aaron Jones.
He stands there. He says, hut.
Aaron Jones was lined out outside. He brings him in onto the right side where the blitz guy is coming. And Aaron Jones is exactly where he needs to be. Like, he just perfection, dude.
Yeah. He knew the moment he saw that defense, he said, oh, watch this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to run. It's going to be a skinny post. It's going to be another post. And I'm either going to have the skinny or I'm going to have Wick. And as soon as he realized it was Wicks, he let her go, and he put it in the only spot. I mean, this isn't like trying to throw down the alley like Dak Prescott does. This is like, oh, I will just loop it over the guy. He was the touchdown to Dobbs. He throws kind of side underarm and gets it underneath the defender's arm and zips it back across his body. Listen, he is him. He is that guy. It is it we have gotten it again. All those years, the 70s and 80s of just getting fucking pummeled, have paid off. It has paid off with our third Hall of Fame quarterback in a row. This kid is he is so poised. Like Micah Parsons is running full speed and he's like, this one's gonna hurt, but I'm gonna get my guy. And he lets it go. And as soon as he lets it go, he's not even flinching to take the hit. Yeah. He's staring at like, ooh, did I get that? Right?
Yeah.
Is that there? Bam, he takes the hit. There's a couple of blows to the head if you watch the replays. I think Micah Parsons leapt from his feet a couple of times. I think there could have been, listen, we kicked their ass. At the same time, Jordan Love maybe not getting the respect as maybe a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or any of the other names. Brand of quarterbacks that would get a little flag for some of those hits, those late hits he was taking. Offensive line, I think the offensive line played absolutely fantastic. The MMUS score on the offensive line was 208.9999, a perfect
almost
rating
perfect.
For the offensive
Is that a perfect
line.
Rating?
Yeah, that's a perfect rating on the offensive line. They were fantastic. They started out like a little slow and getting pushed back, but you know, LaFleur. Hat off to LaFleur. He went to Aaron Jones 21 times, Wilson 8 times, and Patrick Taylor 3 times for a total of 32 handoffs. And that just obliterated that pass rush.
Yep.
They couldn't do anything. Yep. Jones 21 catches, 118 yards, 5.6 yards per carry against the number 5 defense in the league. 5.6 yards. I mean, that's crazy numbers.
Here's there's a couple things that we'll address here, just because we were kind of talking about this before. So the first thing is, I talked about the pressure that Jerry Jones puts on his fucking team, and they're not going to win a Super Bowl ever as long as Jerry Jones is the owner. He's 81 years old, and he continues to be the first person up on the fucking podium after a win, after a loss.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put that pressure on your team, number one. Number two, I get that season long, they were, like you said, number one, number five leading in. But when you look at the last 4 weeks, which we kind of highlighted in on Friday, it was pretty damn even, man, including the Packers being ahead in a couple categories, critical categories like third down conversions, right, on both ends of the ball. That includes the Joe Barry defense, because when it's a third and long, he pins his ear back and gets it taken care of. But I think the biggest thing is there was smoke and mirrors when you look at what the Cowboys did. And I'm not taking away from the Packers win, which is fucking annoying that, right, what did the Cowboys do to lose this game? Nothing. Guess what? They were outplayed by the Packers, which is good. Keep doubting this, right? Right. Keep doubting the Packers. But we talked about this. They beat the Giants twice. They beat the Commanders twice. They beat a Philadelphia Eagles team who I believe was down 13-0 last I checked.
16-3 now. 16-3 now.
So they beat that team. They didn't beat the Lions. They did, but okay. So they beat Carolina. They didn't beat anybody. And it's part of what you've always talked about, what we've always said, leading into a playoff charge, you want your guys to lose. You want them to get that feeling of a loss so they understand what's on the line. When you're winning every single game, then your owner starts getting antsy because this is the year, and then all the fans start putting pressure on you, and these guys start putting a lot of pressure on themselves, and they were doomed from the start. And that's why before I said it's either going to be a well-oiled machine that's going to just fucking destroy the Packers, and that call by Matt LaFleur to take the fucking ball as opposed to deferring, which they always do, because he knew if the Cowboys are up, they can pin their ears back and they'll not get rid of a lead. But he knew if we score first, and I'm telling you, that first touchdown, and it had to be Aaron Jones, which everybody already in that stadium knows they were not going to be able to stop. Like, you could hear the chatter. When Aaron Jones scores that first fucking touchdown, it was, I'm telling you, dead silent, bro. Like, you could hear, because there weren't a lot of Packer fans. You'd be surprised. There was, it was 90% Cowboys. Like, it's not like a typical where you see, like, maybe a 60-40 mixers. Nuh-uh. It was all Cowboy fans in there, except for a couple of us. And it was dead quiet. And I can hear across the stadium the people yelling, go, Pack, go. And then we would repeat it on our end. And we were going back and forth because of the time it would take to hear it. So we never got in unison. But that's all you heard the entire game was go, Pack, go. It was dead fucking
That's all you could hear on TV. That's all you could hear on TV. As soon as it became 20-0, it was go, Pack, go. That's all you could hear. And then Savage bringing back the memories of the, everybody talks about Teron Williams against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm thinking more about Nick Collins on Roethlisberger. I think this game was just as big as that. This wasn't one of these, the Atlanta Falcons. This was the number two team in the league. These guys were supposed to trounce us. Everybody had us pegged. I mean, how about Jordan Love? Last nine games, 21 touchdowns, one interception. Last nine
Unbelievable, man.
That's ridiculous. That's 40 touchdowns over a season. That's 40 touchdowns and two interceptions. What kind of ratio is that, Aaron? This kid, and we talked about it again on Friday, because he doesn't mind feeding Jones. He doesn't mind feeding Dobbs. He doesn't mind if Wicks catches four touchdowns. We don't care if Musgrave suddenly has 103 yards and two touchdowns or Kraft. It doesn't matter who that player is. He just feeds that open guy. And, you know, Watson grabbing double and triple teams, it just made it easier for everybody else. I am a little surprised that Reed didn't get, what did he get? He didn't even get one catch. But I did notice an awful lot on the replay. We didn't see too much of Watson and Reed out there at the same time. So I'm guessing that Watson was on a snap count and they were using Reed and Watson.
No, you know, in looking at it live, to be honest with you, man, with the way that they were lining up, and playing such a heavy dime package, they had their big boys in there. So they had a lot of 12 personnel, which is kind of the staple of what you had, a lot of Kraft and Musgrave. He went with his bigger boys. He went with Bo Melton. He went with Wicks. He went with Dobbs. Because the speediness of Reed was not the way to attack this team, because they're fast. They're small 205-pound linebackers. Micah Parsons fast. They're all really fast. So they went with the bigger bodied, let's show them, you know, that we're tougher than them kind of game plan. And it's going to be very similar next week, man, against the 49ers. 49ers are going to try to do – I mean, they're going to learn something from the Cowboys, right? Because they run a very similar defense to what the Cowboys did. They just have much better linebackers than the Cowboys do. But I think the personnel, the defensive personnel and what Dan Quinn did is what kind of dictated who was going to play more. And I think they knew that Christian Watson was going to stretch the field. You said it. They double teamed him. They triple teamed him. They made sure that there was not going to be any quick strikes, not understanding that we don't need 45 yards. We'll take 25 yards and a catch from Romeo Dobbs.
25.2, six times. Ridiculous. I mean, how do you defend against a quarterback that makes all those throws? You don't. You try and limit him. You try and frustrate him a little bit. Maybe, and you know, they were bringing pressure, and I was watching 5 and 6, and even one point there was a 7-man blitz where they came across, and this Packers O-line and Kraft, Musgrave, and Jones blocked like a son of a bitch. Like, this team is gelling so well, and really,
the best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best!
The best of the best.
Better than the best!
Putting on a good show.
The best Packer podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best!
On balance, all balance doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
Listen to Two Losers on Packers Without Borders.
Thank you for listening to Packers Without Borders. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Support us on Patreon. Throw us a buck, throw us 10, throw us 100, whatever. And also, if you want our merch, feel free to go to TeePublic and pick up mugs, cups, bags, stickers, phone cases, whatever you want. We got it there for you.
Peace. Go Pack, go. April 2025, the draft party in Green Bay. Packers Without Borders will be there with your tailgate party. Bruce and Matt in the flesh, drinks, brats, you name it. How do you win, Bruce?
Go ahead and listen to the podcast. We're going to give you out a nice little keyword that you need to start appointing, and that way you can get a VIP ticket to join us. Also, we're going to be taking donations and anything you can possibly do to help our cause here. But what we want to do is give all that money that we get from you all supporting this and meeting us for the tailgate for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the NF Foundation in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we're going to give all those proceeds to help everybody out. So meet us there and show us the money.
Peace. Go Packo.
This is Yuri.
Jimmy Cheesebutt.
TJ Williams.
Doran Stortergan.
Shelly.
Reed. Randy McGray.
Peter Nebels.
Mick.
Amy.
Alex Brown.
Matt Stevenson.
What's up?
Matt Ramon.
Andrew Falk.
Matt Kuhneman.
It's Eric.
Bruce Banker.
Matt Fraley.
Chris McLeod.
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
Luke Zog.
Kristen. Kimmy.
Coach Hahn.
Colton Moore.
Dave Robbins.
Kermit the Frog.
Kelly Bruner.
Eric.
Luke Zog.
Jeremy.
Jimmy Cheesebutt.
Jim.
Bales of Hay.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
I'll find a little What's your name, little girl? What's your name?
There's an elephant in the room, and that elephant comes from San Francisco, and it's the 49ers. The 49ers have been our Achilles heel. They have been the killers of the Packers going on what now? 12 years.
Well, and here's where I'm going to contradict.
I mean, Kaepernick. Think of Think of Kaepernick running for, what, 210 yards or something ridiculous against us as Clay Matthews is running behind him the whole time. Like,
you know,
the 49ers have been a thorn in our side.
You know why I don't care and why I have more confidence this year than any other years? First off, all that was under Aaron Rodgers. All that was under, you know, this domination of the 49ers was under Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, two completely different. Like, this is just a new era, dude. They're all gone. Anybody who knows losing to the 49ers are all fucking gone. Every single person on the team, except for Aaron Jones, who fumbled twice the last time they played. You're telling me that Aaron, and they lost 13-10. Do you think that Aaron Jones is going to fumble twice against the 49ers for this team? I'll show my testicles if he does.
Wow. Wow. Hopefully he doesn't. Four sacks out of this defense. We had Nixon, Campbell, Smith, and the one I called, Van Ness. I was hoping for the forced fumble, and that would have been the trifecta. I did call two picks from Dak and a forced fumble from Van Ness, and I got the sack. I got the sack, but I didn't get the fumble. Poor fucking Dak hung onto that ball. That would have been awesome if it came out exactly like I said, where they come out of the half, and they start moving the ball down the field, and then Dak fumbles the ball, and Van Ness picks it up. That would have been the end of it. Dallas would have just forfeited right then and there. And you could see Jerry Jones. I love seeing Jerry Jones upset. I love it. Yeah. I feel bad for Mike McCarthy. Something happened to Mike the last time we lost in the playoffs when he was with the Packers. Something happened and his offenses, I mean, geez, man, we were playing zone like 90% of the time, and we were completely frustrating Dak Prescott. That entire it was weird, you know, because I think Mike McCarthy is a really good play caller, but maybe he isn't. Maybe he just isn't.
Well, it looks eerily similar to what we had to deal with him here when it was time to get rid of him. He's not evolved as a coach. Andy Reid learned how to evolve as time passed on and completely changed. And a lot of it has to do with this, man. There are coaches that have a scheme that try to force players into that scheme, right? And like now he's got Dak and CD. So it hides all the fucking warts in his play calling, just like McCarthy had Rodgers and Adams, or Rodgers and Jordy, or Rodgers and this. It just, there's no creativity the way that you look at a Shanahan offense, or you look at a McVay offense, or you look at apparently a Matt LaFleur offense, right? Where there's wrinkles and changes, where it's an unselfish way to play a game, where it doesn't matter who gets it because you're scheming people open and you're setting stuff up throughout. This was 4-speed Ferguson, 4-speed fucking CeeDee Lamb. That was it. All of a sudden, Gallup got two catches, right? Because they were on our third wide receiver when Jaw came out, like, which is our fifth cornerback at that point. So
yeah.
There was no creativity, and you saw it. They kept running the same routes. It looked exactly the same every fucking time. There was no change, which is what we would complain about. This, like, just fucking hero ball. And unfortunately, they couldn't run right the ball, because that's what they did. Luckily for the, I mean, what did Pollard run for? How many rushing yards did the Cowboys have? Didn't seem like much, dude.
Oh, you know, yeah, but you know what? At the same time, they actually had a lot of plays on offense, mostly because Pollard had 15 carries, 56 yards. Lamb had 9 receptions, 110 yards. I mean, but you have to remember that garbage time, they ended up with a ton of plays in garbage time, right? Like Joe Barry just let them take all day long to move downfield because we were killing clock. And he's just nodding.
Oh, you know, it'd be good if I didn't mute.
There it is.
There I am. I think that was the biggest change that I saw. But I can't explain it because it continues being Joe Barry's defense. The guys have either bought in or realized the communication was fantastic the entire time. Just like you were talking about Jordan Love and hand signals, you could see the defense communicating fantastically as well, dude.
Well, even
communication has changed.
Even Jair on his pick was directing the two corners on his side, and even the safety. as soon as they got into that bunch formation and he stuck on that whip route. He saw that. He knew that. He was like, here comes the whip. Here comes the whip. And he jumped that beautiful catch. I love the snub by Jair to Rob Demoski. That's how you cover CD Lamb. Put that in your pipe, Rob, and smoke it. The 49ers, we go into San Francisco. The 49ers have the number three offense and the number three defense. So things are going to tighten up a little bit. I'm thinking
it's this Christian McCaffrey, bro. It's Christian McCaffrey, right?
Yeah. It's going to be a double dose of Christian McCaffrey. We're going to see 25 carries out of Christian McCaffrey, somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 to almost 200 yards out of him. We're going to see a lot of swing passes, a lot of motions, a lot of Debo. I mean, this is basically a mirror game. We have the same type of offense and the same type of defense. The only difference is the players. They've got guys like Debo and Christian McCaffrey. We've got Aaron Jones. We got Christian Watson and Reed. I think our offensive line versus their offensive line as of now is the exact same. Their defensive line, I think, is a little bit more stout than ours. I think that they get after the ball a little bit quicker. Plus, they've got that Bosa kid on the outside. Boy, he's good. You know, Gary on the outside looking pretty good, but Inekbare tearing his knee, his ACL. He is now officially ruled out. The player they called JJ tore his knee and won't be able to play. That's a huge hole to have to fill.
He had carved out
at least twice a game.
He had carved out his rotation
at least twice a game. Yeah,
you know, the
at least twice a game his name was called, right?
Exactly. I'm going to be looking when I start diving into the keys to the game. Maybe the fact that these teams are so eerily similar on offense will help Joe Barry prepare, because you've been preparing and been against your own offense all off season for a few years. You've seen it develop. You've seen what this offense can do. You should know what they're going to try to throw at us, which is going to be a lot of Debo Samuels, which is our a giant version of Reed, right? They've got Christian McCaffrey, who's Aaron Jones. You're right. Like, you're making the comparisons. So hopefully Joe Barry has seen this enough in the offseason and training every day with these guys and playing against these guys to say, okay, watch the tape. This is similar. This is how I would defend us. This is how we should defend them. They've been doing it all season, so this game's going to be a lot closer and a lot better than people think. Once again, 9.5-point favorites, dude. Opening line.
I love it. San Francisco. I love it. Perfect. Perfect.
Right?
Tell San Francisco. Tell all the Niners. 9.5-point. And don't forget, the Niners didn't play most of their starters the last week. And they got the week off. It's a couple of weeks. We've seen teams come out and get rusty. They get their timing is off a little bit. Listen, we're playing on the house's money. And I think I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Man, getting in the playoffs, that was an accomplishment on its own. First-year quarterback, 24 years old, all the players. I mean, these guys are barely old enough to buy beer. We make the playoffs, and then we go into Jerry's world, and we kick the crap out of Dallas. It's been a hell of a ride. And I'm going to ride or die, and I'm going to cheer to the very end. But, you know, if the 49ers conduct business and they happen to beat our ass, I'm not hanging my head, man. I'm cheering as loud as possible.
No.
But, you know,
I mean, it's going to hurt. Have a feeling. It's going to hurt.
I have a feeling. Yeah. But I have a feeling that this team, and just like Matt Stevenson said, just like we've said, these kids are too young and too dumb to understand what they're actually accomplishing. And it's
that's
just
why
like
you have
when
to
we won the Super
history.
Bowl in 2010. Yeah. Yeah. This, if we beat the Niners, there's no other team in the league. I don't care. Bring on Baltimore. Line them up. We take out the Niners, and Jordan Love looks as well as Jordan Love has looked over the last 9 games, let alone what he did against Dallas. Line them up. You know, I hope Jair is back. That looked like a high ankle sprain. rain. We haven't heard too much news.
It looked like, I mean, when I saw it, dude, he twisted and it's either going to be high ankle or a knee, but it's not going to be something that's going to completely take him out. But at the time you could see when he planted and he kind of, his foot got stuck in the fake turf and he just kind of rotated a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So they were stretching. They were stretching out his ankle. That's why I was like, that's a high ankle. If they were stretching out his knee and grabbing his knee, then it's the knee. But the way he kind of went, like you said, his foot got stuck in his momentum. And then you saw him kind of reach towards his foot instead of like past his knee. He didn't grab his leg, but he reached past his knee. And then the trainers were stretching his ankle. And that's why I thought, fuck, that's a high ankle. He got his cleat caught. And, you know, right up in the top part of the calf there, boy, it hurts like absolute hell. And high ankle sprains are the worst. We talked about them before in the show. Could be one day. Could wake up tomorrow and it's right as rain. Could be 6 weeks. You don't know. Yep. It's like a hamstring. Christian Watson and his hamstrings, right?
Yep. I'm not. And I'm generally, I don't, and we can wait to Friday for our predictions. Luckily they play Saturday. So we can kind of see what the injury report looks like, what everything is kind of developing. I don't want to get ahead of myself because one of the benefits of this year again, and I'm going to say this again, is Aaron Jones was Gary on the team when they lost to the 49ers?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So now we're talking Gary. So defensive guys, Clark.
Bakhtiari.
Yeah, but Bach's not playing. But this team is so young. The key contributors, the amount of rookies and second-year guys, and it's not number one picks, guys. This is like Newt doing a fucking gem of a job getting guys in the sixth and seventh round that are fucking competing out of necessity, right? Because you don't have the Devontae Adams. You don't have these guys demanding all of the attention that are not giving these guys time, and now it's paying dividends. They have no idea. And that's why I'm like throwing away all of these results. Look, dude, Brock Purdy, yes. And I can't even say, because I think it's offensive that now people are saying Jordan Love's a system quarterback, right? Now that he's fucking kicking ass, just like Brock Purdy and all these guys that show up early, is Stroud a fucking system quarterback? I don't fucking think so as a rookie. I mean, 274, 272, three touchdowns each. No, you know, no picks, almost exact same stat lines. And apparently Jason Stroud is the next coming of Jesus, but Jordan Love is a system quarterback. Come on, man. So I don't know. I've not seen enough of the 49ers. I don't think I've actually seen a fucking game because I can't stand watching them. I can't stand them. Like if it's a primetime game, I won't even fucking put it on. I barely had time to see my Packers games this year anyway. I don't know. I've not seen with my eyeballs.
I watched a few, and you know, what I find the difference between the 49ers and the Packers is the same difference that I see between the Lions and the Packers. The 49ers seem to be a more of a punch you in the mouth team. And the Packers, for the longest time, were a don't punch us in the mouth because we turtle. And now with these young guys, when they get punched in the mouth, they're punching right back. And we need guys like Jair out there doing the mocking the guy, telling him to shut up. Did you see he covered CD Lamb and he covers CD on a comeback? And as CD breaks out of his route and the ball goes somewhere else, Jair just shoves him in the back. That's what you want. Some guy who's going to sit there, talk trash and do these little pops and little pushes afterwards because it gets in your head. And you're out there getting CD Lamb and you're saying you're getting your coach to talk to you and everybody's talking to you about why you're not on the same page. And you're just pissed that Jair is out there and you're having a bad day.
And I don't want to hear any complaints about the Quay Walker penalties. Those are now penalties that are being given because of a history that he has of doing that stuff. So now they're like uber looking at it, but it was total ass.
That wasn't a horse collar.
It was bullshit, man.
Even the announcers on TV, even Greg Olsen, like everybody was going, no, that's not a horse collar. He's actually wrapped around to his front and pulling him from the front. That's not a horse collar, but you're exactly dead on, man. It's because of what happened last year. Quay's got himself a little bit of a reputation, and so immediately he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But I will tell you this. I love how when tight ends and stuff are out there mucking around and Clay gives him a pop, and they start talking. You see Quay a few times. You could read his lips, and he was like, "Shut up, bitch."
Yep.
I love that. And how about Slayton and Wyatt? Slayton and Wyatt out there. This is my line. This is where you can't run on me. And they're getting right up in those guys' faces. That's what you want. You want your team challenging those guys. You want your team. McDuffie making a couple of big tackles, especially in the backfield, chasing guys down on little screen routes and then delivering the pop. Great acceleration.
He worries me
great
a little
breakdown.
Bit. He worries me because he came down so with aggressive. His arm first. He came down with his arm first.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was either a collarbone. Hopefully it's just a separated shoulder that they had to pop into place and it'll be sore. But it was the way he landed was very similar to how I broke my elbow, you know, where you just put all your body weight on your arm trying to protect yourself. So I'm a little bit worried about McDuffie for that exact reason, because he is that perfect just thunder change, just going to run downhill and run people over, man. So, but I agree. There had to be some sort of change in the culture of this team, from finessing and lobbing it and this, trying to go play hero ball, to now you're going to take the ball. You're going to, I'm curious to see how much yak we've accumulated over the course of the last 4 to 5 weeks. I'm going to start looking at that to see under Aaron Rodgers and under, you know, the Matt LaFleur hybrid Rodgers offense versus now. What is the yak in comparison to last year?
What's it like to watch your team get the ball, go down and score every time? It's fucking awesome. Right. Remember when we used to do that way back in 2012 and 2015 and 16? We used to just, every time we get the ball, we got to score. We're going to score. So you got to outscore us. I mean, if we can get our defense to hold the 49ers to 20 or under, I think this is done. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that timing issue and what we saw with CeeDee Lamb and Dak, where they're not on the same page, and that Dak's going to have to start taking what the defense gives him, which will be the third and fourth string guys. If we can get this run game under control with McCaffrey, and if I was Joe Barry, me and Quay Walker would be in meetings all week about how we are going to shadow CMC.
Exactly. That's what I was going to tell you, because that's their offense, number two scoring offense behind Dallas, 29.8 points per game. All right. So they know how to put up points, but it goes through Christian McCaffrey. It goes through Deebo Samuel, guys close to the line. It does not go through George Kittle's or any of that stuff, man. This is a close to the line, cut you 1,000 different ways, screen passes, quick outs. They don't make Brock Purdy hold the ball at all. Ball's out quickly. He's good at making that first read. Like, I'm sure his release time is probably up there with Jordan Love's, man, like probably sub 2.4, right? Where the ball's out quickly, because it's going to go a lot to Christian McCaffrey. And I think that is the perfect plan, just like we did, you know, where you have to spy a quarterback who's mobile and can move around. This time it's not going to be Brock Purdy that you need to spy. You need to spy Christian McCaffrey. But I'll be checking out all of these stats, bro, and I'm going to take a look to see where their weaknesses are. You know, the Cowboys had the number one special teams. Didn't matter, did it? So we just can't make any mistakes. It has to be a game like this. It has to be a nearly flawless fucking game. I mean, the only real – what I can't think of any mistakes that the Packers made, right? I mean, they – Third quarter starts 3-and-out for the Cowboys right off the fucking hop, man. And then they come down and they score again. It's like, holy fuck. You know, it's like, oh my God. Like, it was just,
I know.
They scored on 6 of their first 7 drives. So it has to be the same.
When we scored to make it 7-0, I thought, good. Okay, this is good. We got to get it up to 30 first drive. This will give us plenty of time to be able to catch Dallas. And then Dallas goes 3-and-out. I thought, fuck, quick, score again. I don't care what it is. 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. I don't, just get something on the board, right? We scored to make it 14, and I hopped up and I thought, holy crap, we're up by 2. But again, 2 scores is the worst lead to have in any sport, hockey and football, because you get a little comfortable, and before you realize it, they're 1 strike away from tying it up. When we scored and missed that extra point, I thought, wow, we're up by 20. we came to a track meet and the Dallas Cowboys are still stuck in the blocks. And then to watch it, it happened quick. Dallas lines up and you're like, okay, here we go. Now we're going to see Dallas. He's in the shotgun. He's got the spread formation. I'm like, all right, this is where now hopefully Joe Barry can, you know, keep them, you know, low enough that we can at least get to 30. And when he hit Savage, I mean, I blacked out. When he hit Savage for that pick six, I was like, this is done. It's 27. Are you kidding me? We haven't even begun yet. We haven't started, and it's 27.
What is like your getting
your favorite Christmas present, and inside that Christmas present is $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like it even better. I was praying for the 19-10. I would have been sitting on the couch biting my fingernails and just sweating like a fucking madman. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please. And even at the beginning of the game, I said quietly, I said, please just be merciful, right? Like, do not let me watch what Cowboy fans just had to watch.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, man. Well, it's a big test next week, man. And I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to really do a deep dive because this might be the last game of the season. It might not be the last game of the season, but we're going to put everything into this and just deep breath. Deep breath, man. This was an awesome week.
Real quick.
It was fantastic.
Real quick. We got Kansas City going to Buffalo. Who do you like in that one?
I like Buffalo, man.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We got the Texans going to Baltimore. Who do you like in that one?
Man, it's just CJ Stroud. It's like going against Jordan Love, right? Like going against Jordan Love.
I know.
So I'm going to pick the fucking Texans. And that Texas, I'm picking the Texans.
I'm thinking about the Texans too, just because the defense is swirling. They are fast. They are a different breed of animal. Baltimore, I mean, they are clearly favored. If everything stays the way they are, it looks like the Bucks at the Lions. I'm going to go Lions one more time. I do.
Lions
think
are
going to
fucking destroy them.
Just open. Yeah.
Lions are going to fucking destroy them.
And then the Packers will meet the Lions in the NFC Championship game, and we will stick them back down into the grave in which they belong. That's it. Don't forget about Patreon on Friday. And that's all she wrote. Peace. Go Pack, go.
This has been Packers Without Borders. Try and be kind to one another. Try and love each other. And go Pack, go.
Esto ha sido Empacadores Sin Fronteras. No se les olvide cuidarnos unos a los otros. Hasta luego.